I tell you what we do with the money at our church.
We give it all to the Lord. I get it all in a pile and I pitch it straight up, and whatever he don't take, I keep. Oh, Lord. It's been a great Bible conference, has it not? Amazing, ain't it? You know, it's amazing to me. I look at it, people that I've known for 30-something years, nearly 40 years, that we've been preaching and coming to this church, and they look like they just don't age. My goodness, you know, they look good. Make me think I'm not aging. I mean, it's so good. This has been an oasis for us. The people that's been here, and kindness and gentleness and the Word of God that's been taught here, and the gospel. I mean, it's like we've been the same people, like Sam said, and Wusty met us a long time ago. We've been 28ers for a long time. But we also 27ers and 26ers. I mean, folks, we just don't, you know, on one thing. I want to tell you about my group that I got. It's called Rightly Dividing Explained. And in this group that we have, you have to prove what you're saying. And you'll be surprised how many people just don't know what they're saying. They just repeat verses. And that I'll show you a good one. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. And you'll know this one. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2. It's real popular among people who rightly divide. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, I've been in Bible conference before. So how many people in here know 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14? Everybody in the Bible conference, raise their hand. So, okay, how many of y'all know 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14? Nobody raised their hand. You see, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14 is why you do 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. And what I do in Rightly Divided and Explained is I keep things in context. I appreciate Dan keeping things in context. He puts it in the context in which it is being said, why he's saying it, and who's saying it to, see. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14, look in verse 14. Of these things put them in remembrance, charge. Oh, okay. I can't mess up that way. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to know what?
Profit.
What profit is it that you're saying when you say something? Who is it profiting? Is it profiting you or the hearers? I mean, why are you saying it? And you know, it's amazing to me how that Paul said, teach this to faithful men who in turn will teach others. You know how I gauge a person where he's faithful or not? It's when we get in the Word of God and I start talking to the Word of God and I show them something in the Word of God and they don't acknowledge what the Word says. They're not faithful to the Word. They're not faithful at all to the Word. And you know, on Rightly Dividing Explained, that's the name of the group. If you'd like to join that, well, I'd be glad to have you. There's no politics. There's no name calling. There's none of that. It can go on. I'll stop you right away. And if you try to put something on there that's not in the Bible, I'll ask you to produce it and ask you to go to it and show where you're talking about it. And if you can't do that, I won't let you put that on there. It's not very complicated. There are a ton of preachers on there. Sam, Steve, who's that? Who's that guy over? Well, who's beside you? Nah, I kid. Hey, Brian. There's another Bible conference coming up November 11th through 13th in Pensacola. And Bob Wiggins is on there. It's free. The food's free. Food's free. The room's free. All that's there. And so there are a ton of preachers that are on there. There's a Baptist preacher on there right now, and he's been on there quite a bit. And it's amazing to me how that he's rightly dividing right down the line just like we do. And I've watched him. Have you watched him, Sam? I watched him probably on 10 times that he's did it, and he's right down the line, just like we are. Like Paul was not sent to baptize. I mean, he just lays it out. And I'm going to go back and say, why? Oh, you got that bad discipline. You know, and I believe that you ought to have a forum where you can talk about what you believe and why you believe it with freedom. This pulpit has been freedom. And you can talk about what you believe and why you believe it. And you better bet in this forum somebody's going to ask you why too. But I love this. And like I said, it's been an oasis for us over the years. And thank you for all the hard work that you put in that we could enjoy this. And Steve, don't stop. Look in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. You know, years ago, I walked off my job to have the freedom to be able to talk about the Bible anytime I got ready. That's what I walked off for. So I feel kind of guilty at work about talking about the Bible all the time and not working. Because I like to talk about the Bible. So I put myself in a position where I could talk about the Bible anytime I wanted to. And I've done that. It's been great. I love it. Anytime I feel like it, I can do it. And I love my life. I love that. And so, and like you look in Romans chapter 5, and this is what I love. I like this. I like to have, and we did this in Gatlinburg, I did it also in Pensacola. I like to have a group of people like y'all. And I just stand up here, and you say, okay, how about such and such? And then I take my Bible, and go in my Bible to wherever we're talking about in the Bible, and we go over what's there in the Bible. And I set it in context about what is going on in the book of Romans. You see, people, I believe this. I believe if we're in the book of Corinthians and Paul wrote something in the book of Corinthians, you can stay in the book of Corinthians and find out what it means. Folks, the Corinthians didn't have the book of Ephesians. Amen. They didn't have the book of Philippians. So if it don't make any sense in the book of Corinthians, what's Paul doing? Why have I got to go to Romans to find out what's going Ephesians to find out what's going on in Romans? Folks, it's just right there in front of you. The Bible is real simple, real easy. It's not complicated at all. And if you just slow down, like Dan does, he's pretty slow. You just slow down. And I enjoy that because it's in context. He's not trying to cram a whole lot into there. And go here and go there. And when you do that, you go into all different kind of context. You just drag everything into it. You get all these different doctrines when it's really right there before you. That's amazing, ain't it? And you know what's amazing too? Is that when you read a verse in this Bible, there ain't no other verses nowhere in the Bible that's going to make that verse anything different. I don't care where you go and what book you go into. It's still going to say the same thing when you come back there. So you ain't proving nothing. You're just not reading what's there and accepting God's Word. It's not complicated. But people do complicate it, don't they? I know I've complicated it a lot myself. In Romans chapter... I said 5, didn't I? In the context here, he's talking about how that one man's offense, let's read in verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of the free gift came upon all men unto justification. Now, the all man there, all men. Was it all? What if they wasn't saved or was saved? Still all, ain't it? Look in verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon how many men? Under what? What if they lost? It's not all? All men? Yeah. You know, if you read the passage up here, for I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. Was that all men? Did he, as it is, the free gift, the gift of justification of life, was it to all men? Yes, it was it not? And so when Jesus Christ died for their sins, He justified all men that they could have life. What actually happened? Look in Revelation chapter 20. In Revelation chapter 20, Revelation chapter 20, Revelation chapter 20, and it's about, let's read verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the keys of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on that dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. So we're talking about the 1,000-year reign. Now, there might be some new in here that don't understand what that is. But it's after the tribulation time period, after the rapture of the body of Christ. So he binds Satan for 1,000 years. look at verse 9. And they went up on the... not there. At verse 7. And when the 1,000 years were expired, Satan shall be loosened from out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is the sands of the sea. Now come down to verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne. You know, that's amazing about that white throne. You ever study in the Old Testament how that Solomon built the temple? He built a temple over, and then he built him a house. And it had an ivory throne in it. Ain't that amazing? Like the temple, like for Jesus Christ, and one that was on earth, and there's one with an ivory throne in it. There's your throne, the throne of God that's there. He says in verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand. Now wait a minute, folks. If the dead stands, what's that? Resurrection. But any time the dead stands, that's resurrection. See that? In other words, there's a resurrection there. Back in Romans chapter 5, verse 18, the Bible said He justified all men unto life. In other words, when Jesus Christ died, He died for all, that all could have life. They couldn't be resurrected right here if Jesus Christ hadn't have died. Jesus Christ is the Savior of all men. He gives life to all men. I've heard people say, well, God just took Him. God don't take life. He gives life. Brother, if Jesus Christ hadn't have died at Calvary, all men would not have life. And you know what was in the... You know what the problem was? Let's read it. For I deliver unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins. If He hadn't died for all men's sin, none would have life. And so there's resurrection to life. Sins are not the problem, folks. Sins are not the problem. And I won't show you in this Bible, the problem here is a heart problem. And it's within you. But look what He says here in verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. I personally believe that these are the ones that are before Moses. Job said, I know that in my flesh I will see God. I believe this dead right here He said, you see, the dead stand. I believe that's Job and those that are before him. He said, verse 7, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of these things which were written in the books of, according to, now what? What were they judged according to what? It wasn't their sins, was it? No, if it had to do with the sins, they wouldn't have no life. They would have never stood. Folks, when Jesus Christ died at Calvary, He took the sin problem away. It has to do with works. And this is going to have to do with your heart and the work that's in your heart. And I'll show you that in a few minutes in Psalms 51 with David. There's some things that happened. Listen, the law is not like the law is there to actually to punish you or to for God to punish you. God actually put the law there for you to see your condition. Because man has a heart problem. And he has to have a work in his heart. And God has to place that work in his heart. And the law is to bring you to a place where that you see you need that work in your heart. And if you ain't got that work in your heart, then you're going to burn in hell. If it's a matter of us sinning or not sinning, or you're sinning, we're all guilty. All men are. It's not a matter of that. You people out there, at the sound of my voice, that if you go to hell, it's because you do not trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You will burn in hell if you don't trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He's your only hope. And you can leave here thinking whatever you want to think, but your enemy today is death. And buddy, ain't a one of you going to get out of that, and you're going to it right now. And that's your enemy. And so, you know, it's like when you think about what the Scripture says. You know, I listen to people and I hear it, and I go on with a lot of it, because it don't really matter. A lot of it's just semantics, ain't it? I mean, it's good to know real truth. People say today there's no such thing as Jew nor Greek. Now they say that there's no such thing as Jew nor Greek, and I ain't involved in today. The Bible said to make all men see the mystery of the fellowship. All men are without distinction. There's no Jew nor Greek. There's nothing like that today. That's just men. That's just men. I preach in rescue mission. I don't think about nothing but just men. There's men there. And you know, and I think about the only enemy that those men have is death. When I preach to people, I try to lay it out to them, your enemy is death. And if you don't have a Savior, then death is going to get you. Revelation chapter 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell. You see that? Death and hell was delivered up. What you don't want is death to get you. Because you're going to end up in the lake of fire. And there's such thing in this Bible that's called the second death. And there's such thing... Oh, let me go and finish this right. And verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they, every man shall judge every man according to his what? To what? Works. Now, Romans. Look in Romans chapter. I hope I can find it. Romans chapter 8. I don't think I can find it. Sin unto death. Romans 4:5, somewhere like that. No. Romans. It's in Romans. It's in Romans 4:5. Y'all look for that for me. It's in the latter part of one of the chapters here. Paul says there is a sin unto death. No, Paul. I beg to differ. I've been taught it 20 times and then been read it out loud. There is a sin unto death. Paul says it. Just makes me want to find it now. Look it up, Steve. 5:21. Okay, there you go. 5:21. That as sin has reigned unto death. No, that ain't in there either. No, it actually says there is a sin unto death. No. What else? Romans 6:16. Now who's right? Romans 6:16. Know you not to whom you yield yourself servants to obey? His servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death. No, it's unto sin. I sin unto death. Yeah, that's exactly right. I sin unto death. But there is, well, I've said it wrong, didn't I? Okay. I'll take it, brother. But he says that there is a sin unto death. You know what that sin unto death is? It's unbelief. It's not trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in your heart. Folks, you can do it with your mouth. You can do it with your lips. Matthew 15. Look in Matthew chapter 15. Folks, I find it a lot that I talk to people that they're worshiping the Lord with their lips. That's what they're doing. They're worshiping the Lord with their lips. And they're trying to fit in with us. You wouldn't believe on Rightly Divided and Explained how that people will get on there and Church of Christ, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, and I know the doctrine. I've dealt with them for 40 years. I know what a Baptist is by talking to him, and I know what a Church of Christ is by talking to him, and I can talk to him a little bit, and I can point him out. And I do it on Rightly Divided and Explained. They'll get on there and they'll learn what right division is. And they'll go right down the line just like we believe, except they'll vary just a little bit. And then when they start varying a little bit, I say, which doctrine they're varying towards? And then I just ask them point blank. I say, you Church of Christ, ain't you? They don't answer. They don't answer. And I try to work with them a little bit in the Bible. Pretty soon I just boot them off. Because I know what they are. Like Steve was talking about the tulip. I know what Calvinist is too. I know their doctrine. And so, I mean, they worship the Lord with their lips, but not with their heart. The work that's got to happen, it's got to be a work within that person's heart. It has nothing to do. Your sins are just to show you what you are. But you can take them away, or you can put them on you, or whatever, but they're not going to save you by taking them away or putting them on. The Bible says that whatsoever thing the law saith, it says that I'm under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world become guilty before God. Somewhere along the line, you have got to come guilty before God. When in your life did you become guilty in your heart with everything that's in you? And you knew. You knew without a shadow of a doubt that you're going to hell. I remember that. Do you have a time? I hear Steve talk about it. I hear Sam. I hear other people talk about that time that they had in their life. They get choked up. You know why? Because they knew where they were going when they died. I hear people say all the time, well, when I was a kid, I seen this light and blah. Huh? Listen, folks, it's a work in your heart. It's not something you say. It has study to show yourself approved unto God. It has to do with, he taught a preacher teaching a pastor to do that, and he was supposed to actually work and work with others after you're saved. That ain't what saves you, studying and believing. There's a man called Jesus Christ that hanged at Calvary. That man will save you if the conditions are right. Folks, and that it has to do with the heart being preparated and you seeing him as Lord. And when you see him as Lord, this book becomes Lord to you, God's Word. It's amazing to me how I can point out things that are just right there in Scripture and people can't see it. Hey, folks, this is sixth grade grammar. Come on. I climbed out the window in the ninth grade. They put me in the ninth grade because I was too old to be an eighth. It's just not hard, folks. It's just people do not believe this Bible. They worship Him with their lips and not with their hearts. That's what's going on in Matthew chapter 5. Look at verse Is it 15? Who said that? Why did I say that for? 15:7, I think. I think that's what I meant. Yeah, 15:7. I don't have it on here, but I had to guess at that. 15:7. Ye hypocrites, well did Elias prophesy of you, saying, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of man. They do it with their lips. Folks, there are people in here that are just doing it with their lips. And let me show you something. Look in Psalm chapter 51. I want to ask you something about this in Psalm 51. You know, I remember giving up all. I sold every TV I had. Wouldn't have a radio or a cigarette lighter in my car. I remember trying to get rid of all the evil that I could. And I couldn't get rid of enough. And I end up every day in that shower saying, Lord, forgive me of the sins that I do today. And every day, wringing my hands, knowing that He did. But I was not going to trust that. Nobody else trusted it. Everybody I knew asked for forgiveness. And so I was afraid to trust what the Word of God said for me and my salvation. And one day I come to a place where I seen that I had to trust what Jesus Christ did as a man. That He did everything that God required. Now, some things about He did that God done, and I want you to see in Psalm chapter 51, and people think that the Lord delighted in Jesus about Christ being crucified. That's not true. Anybody that studies His Bible at all, I know that the Lord does not delight in sacrifices. He does not delight in sacrifices. God Almighty didn't delight in His Son dying at Calvary up there and being treated that way. God didn't delight in that. But God knew that that would be necessary for you to see how much He loved you and to reach you in your heart. You know the reason we're not underneath the law? It don't have the effect of what that man did at Calvary. He came to earth and with eyes and ears men seen the love of God. The law couldn't touch that. It's not necessary no more. Jesus Christ is the one that set the example for all mankind of how much God loved you. And He did something that He didn't like. He put a sacrifice up there. And God does not delight in sacrifices. Ain't that amazing? He done things He don't like just so He could show His love towards mankind. Look in Psalm chapter 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness, according to the multitudes of Thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. You know what He's talking about, folks? Does anybody know what He's talking about? He's seen this woman called Bathsheba. She was a beautiful woman. And she was bathing on a housetop. And David wanted Bathsheba. But he knew he couldn't have her. He was married, she was married. That was against God's law. So he took her husband and put him on the front line to get him killed. To make a long story short, he had her husband killed so he could get his wife. That's what's going on here. I want to ask you something. You people that study the Bible, is there any sacrifice for adultery underneath the law? There are none. That's death. There is death. David is sitting here pleading for his life. But folks, underneath the law, there is no sacrifice. There ain't nothing but death. What I'm trying to show you is that the law is there to show you that you're guilty. Then every mouth may be stopped It ain't the thing that puts you to death. It's your heart. David was a man after God's own heart. You know the reason God didn't take him? Because of his heart. The law puts you in that place. You see what you are and what you were born in and the way you are. And the law shows you that. It's like a mirror. You can have dirt on your face and you can go to that mirror and you look in that mirror and you can see the dirt that's on your face. But that mirror won't take that dirt off of your face. But it'll show you it's there. That's what the law is. That's what the law showed David. David in his heart was broken and contrite. God honored that. Amen. You know what that crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ ought to do to you? It ought to break your heart. Give you a broken spirit. A contrite. I mean, it did me. It gave me such a... It just. I hear men like Steve and other people get up here and talk about their salvation and they start crying and whimpering. Folks, it's an effectual working. God worked in me when He saved me. And folks, it changed my life. I walked out of my job. People said, "Where are you going?" I said, "To preach the gospel." They said, "What church are you going to preach at?" And I said, "I don't know." They said, "You mean to say you quit your job and you ain't got a church?" I said, "Yeah." I'm happy as I could be, walked off. And at the time, we had about $2,000 coming in. I don't care if you know in any part of my life, it don't really matter to me. You know, hey, what matters to me is what God thinks of me. I mean, I don't care what you think of me anyway. What's it matter? It really don't. And I walked out and I knew it was going to come a day when that wouldn't have that. It's today. I work every day. And I have to work. I don't even care. It don't matter. You know why? Because I'm here for a very short time. I've always said I don't mind working hard as long as I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Buddy, I got that light. This is a short time. And I'm one of the happiest guys you'll ever see. I've never been happier in my life. My goodness, I mean, every day I get up, I learn new things in the Bible. It's just easy and simple, and it just seems like it keeps getting easier and simpler. And it's just, God, I love it. I love the people that do it. And it's gotten to the point where I'm around people all the time that do it. And I just love it. Thank God that I get to be with you. But thank God that God worked in my heart. And I'm not praising Him just out of my mouth just to fit in with other people. David, he said, look in verse 3, "For I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." That's Romans chapter 3, verse 5. "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts." There you go, in the inward parts. And in the hidden part, that thou shalt make me know wisdom. In the heart, folks. It all happens in the heart. You know, I trusted Jesus Christ that a real live man took my place at Calvary and God punished him, done an act, and a treacherous act, something God hated to do. He sacrificed His Son so that I might have life. Amen. And the only reason today anybody in here will go to hell is that you reject what Jesus Christ did for you at Calvary. And death will get you and end up in the lake of fire. One more verse and I'll quit. But look in the 2 Thessalonians. And I talked about this with Jim. Jim asked me right before I come up here. He said, "What do you think about when you get up there?" I said, "Well, I really think about how I'm going to have to chop my message up. Because I don't care how long you get. It's not long enough. And I got a bunch of other good verses. I mean, really good ones. But I mean, it just ain't enough time. There never is. And so, you know, you could speak forever, could you not? Steve's the same way. It's just, it's amazing what's here about Jesus Christ. It's amazing how much you can see if you just believe. That's the problem. I'm going to stop in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I'm going to show you a dispensational passage and a salvation passage, verse. And it's about the coming of the wicked one. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look at verse 6. And now you know what would hold us, that he might reveal us in this time. And what holds us is the body of Christ. It's keeping Satan from coming right now. We have the truth. Verse 6, verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now let us will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivables and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. You know how you're going to be saved? You receive the love of the truth. When I talk to people and I show them things in the Bible and it's right there, and they run to some other verse somewhere else rather than to look at it, they don't love the truth. And folks, there's something bad wrong in here. When somebody shows me something I had never seen before or shows me where I'm wrong, I say, thank you. I love it. And if I ever teach anything wrong here in this church and I get an opportunity the next time I come, I will say to every one of you, I taught that wrong. I want to show you where I taught that wrong, and I'm proud that I found out what's right. And I love that. People don't love the truth. They hide stuff all the time. God looks at your heart, and you can honor Him with your lips if you want to, but that ain't going to get it done with God. The Bible says that yea, that we have known God, rather that He has known us. God reads your heart, folks. You can't hide it from Him. When did you, as a lost, doomed sinner, get saved? David, I didn't read over in Psalms chapter 51, but he came to God with a broken spirit and a contrite heart. And that Bible said God will not refuse that. And David had took Bathsheba. And when David broke down with that broken spirit and a contrite heart, God didn't refuse him over that. And God didn't kill him. And there was nothing but a penalty of sin, death underneath of that. But God won't refuse that over anything. The reason you're going to go to hell today, if you don't, is because you didn't trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You didn't receive the love of the truth, what God did for you at Calvary. Look what He says in verse 10. Verse 11. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Let me ask you something. What's God's will for today? You know this is not today for this time period. Why? Because He's sending strong delusion that they believe a lie. God can't be sending a strong delusion that people be that believe a lie, and at the same time, His will be to all men be saved. This is a different dispensation. You got two dispensations right here. You got salvation, and then you got a dispensational truth right here in 2 Thessalonians. You know, I pray that there's none lost in here. Your only enemy is yourself. Satan is an enemy in doctrine. And Satan don't want you. He hates you. Hates everything about you. And he's what he's trying to do is trying to get you to go against God so God will destroy you. And if God destroys you, then God messed up in His plan, like Jerry was saying, His plan for salvation. But Jesus Christ will save you if you'll trust Him as your Lord and Savior.